Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 11. We are embarking on a new series starting today called the Foundations Series. I'll be preaching on the foundations of our faith, and I am excited about revisiting these topics, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as you see on our banner today, is our theme verse. I want you to memorize this verse. If you found 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, say amen. If you need a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. Grab one of those red hardbound books and just over in the New Testament, you'll find it. Let's read that verse together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. And it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Let's read that again, please. Again, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you, and it is important to us, Father, that you glorify yourself. For our righteousness are as filthy rags. We can't bring you glory. You have to do it. And Father, we believe that if you would perfect your will, God, that as Jesus said in the model prayer, that thy will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. So perfect your will. And if there's one watching on the internet or here on campus today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they call upon you and be saved. And for us, your children, grow us. For I know it's your will that we be molded and shaped to the image of Christ. So, Father, do the work that only you can do, that we would be usable in thy service. Grow us. Meet the needs represented here today. Comfort the hearts. Bless, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I recognize that you probably did not speak in this type of prose this week. When you look at this, this is probably not how you formulate sentences. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So to cut to the chase, it is saying that our foundation, the foundation of our life, the foundation of our existence, the purpose of us being here, the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the purpose. He's the foundation. Everything else is based on the knowledge of Him. It says, "For other foundation can no man lay." I think that in John Mick's ease, that's saying you're not going to find a better place to found your faith, your life, your existence, your purpose than Jesus Christ. You can't find a better one. You can't lay a better one. I mean, when you think of, we recently have succumbed to, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's kind of a thrilling to go to a car lot. Have you ever gone to a car lot recently? It's kind of thrilling sometimes to go sit in a car, you know what I mean? To walk by and actually realize that's in your price range. I've been trying to put Mrs. Mix in a muscle car for all week. Just for fun, we've been out playing and looking and just goofing around going, "Hey, wouldn't it be great? You know, wouldn't she look good in a muscle car?" Hey, man, yeah, okay, yeah, you guys got to work harder on that. Anyhow, it's kind of thrilling, you know what I'm saying? Well, what about this one? What about that one? And it's funny when you walk into a dealer and you know more about the car than they do because you've been looking at it. And you're like, "Look, I know there's four sizes of SUV. I don't want the biggest and I don't want the smallest. Can you help me out there? Can you kind of put me in a..." And the funny thing is, people treat faith that way. They treat religion that way. They walk into this landscape of religion and they, like a car lot, and they're like, "Well, all right, well, I'm going to try this one. Do you have this in red? Do we have, no, I like Christianity, but I want it in this color. Or I want it with this. I want Christianity with these features." You know, there's the SLE, which is like the totally stripped down version of cloth seats and everything. And you got the SLT, all right? SLT1, right? SLT1 gives you leather, but you still don't have memory seats and things like that. Then SLT2, has all the bells and whistles with the moonroof, except the Denali version's got like the heated and cooled air, you know, steering wheel and all this stuff. And people treat Christianity that way. They're a religion. They look at it and they want, "Well, I want these features. This is what I'm looking for. I don't care how big the motor is. I just need it to go, but just I want these features." They pick and they choose. Unfortunately, not all religions are based on the true foundation. In fact, there's just one, and that's Bible Christianity. See, because you can take all the world's religions and lump them into two categories. There's the one big category that says you have to work for it. Think of the religions, people you know. You boil their religion down and it's works. I have to do this. I have to do this and this and this and this, and I have to be consistently doing this and this and this and this. Then there's the Bible. And Bible Christianity falls under the category of done. It's done. Everything you need to know or need to go to heaven with, it's been done. Jesus did it for you. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. It's done. If your foundation is built on a man, a sinner, your relationship with God, your faith should not be in this building or these people. Your faith should not be in this pastor. I will fail you. Is your faith founded solely, squarely upon the Lord Jesus Christ? See, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17 that our very existence is founded upon Jesus Christ. The truth of Jesus Christ. Look at it. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16 and 17. That our whole purpose of being here is Him. Look at it now. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 16 and 17. For by Him, speaking of Jesus, were all things created. Now we know that's true. Why? Because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. That means in the beginning, before that which could be experienced, measured, weighed, touched, felt, examined. In the beginning, there was just the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was and the Word was with God, and everything was created by Him, John 1:2 says. So look at Colossians 1:16. For by Him, by Jesus Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Okay, that's not in question. But look at the next phrase. And for Him. Everything, visible and invisible, everything in heaven, everything in earth, everything, everywhere that can be sensed, known, experienced, measured, was created not only by Jesus, but for Him. That means purpose. Everything has that divine purpose. It's for Jesus. Look at it. I'm not making this up. And it says, and He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. That means He's the one who's holding it together. You know, the earth travels around the sun in just that Goldilocks zone. Just hot enough, just cold enough. You know what I'm saying? You know, just right. Even that tsunami that hit Indonesia where thousands were killed, what a terrible devastation. And it caused the earth to wobble on its axis. That's pretty cool. It still didn't wobble too far. Why? Because Jesus has a hold of it. By Him, all things consist. Look it up. You're going to find it's held together, maintained by Jesus. It was built by Him, for Him, and He holds it together. He is the foundation of it all. So what's your faith founded on? Is it founded on your preferences? Is it founded on your desire for this worship style or that worship style? Is your faith founded on your mother's faith? Your mother's belief? I know when I was raising up as a child, I went to the First United Methodist Church of Granville, and my faith was based on that building. I thought I was going to heaven because I went to that building. And then a little while longer, my faith was in the pastor, Brother Zivny, who was a wonderful man. And my faith was in him. And my faith was in my mom and her faith. And what is your faith founded on? You know, the tallest building in the world is the Khalifa Tower. I think I'm saying it right. I'm probably butchering it. The Khalifa Tower in Dubai. It's the largest man-made structure in the world. It's 2,700 feet above ground. That's over a half a mile into the clouds. 160 floors. That's twice as tall as the Empire State Building. It has the fastest elevator. You travel at 40 miles an hour in an elevator. Pretty cool, huh? That's right. It's got the highest observation deck, 124 floors above the ground. You're on an outdoor observation deck. Has the highest above ground pool at 76 floors. The secret to the stability of this massive building is founded underground. A year before they ever started building, putting up the structure, they dug into the ground and they put down a foundation of 58,900 cubic yards of concrete. That's 110,000 tons of concrete you can't see in the ground. That's what holds that building in place. That's what keeps that building upright during the toughest winds and the toughest storms. It's its foundation. What is your foundation? How deep does it go, and what is it built on? See, problems that we have in life, some of them are self-inflicted. I admit it. I'm my own worst enemy. Anybody else in the room their own worst enemy? I'm their own worst enemy. I do it. The guy's face I shave in the mirror is my biggest problem, right? Okay. He didn't get any prettier with age either. Did you notice that? It's not getting any better. And the thing is even if you strip away all the problems I inflict upon myself, the problems that God allows in my life reveals what my faith is founded upon. I mean, anybody can sail a boat when it's smooth, you know, smooth water and blue skies. You really find out what kind of sailor you are when the wind's blowing and the waves are crashing. So when you look at the things God has allowed in your life, you find out what it is truly your faith is founded upon. Because that's what props you up, that's what stays you up. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Luke, chapter number 6. Luke, chapter number 6, and verse 46. Jesus said that our lives are to be founded upon Him. Look at it. Luke 6 and verse 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord and Lord, Lord, Lord?" Let me say it again. Verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, I don't know about you, but my mother used to say that to me all the time. And I guess you reap what you sow. And for you young folks that haven't got kids yet or you got little babies, trust me, you're going to reap what you sow. Because my mother would say, "Why don't you just listen to me? Why can't you just listen to me?" And now I find myself grabbing my kid's face and going, "Do you understand what's coming out of my face right now? Do you understand? You ever do that to your kids? Am I the only one that has that problem? Okay, somebody needs to help me with my kids." Because the truth is, I'm like, why can't you just listen? Why can't you just hear me? Jesus is like, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I tell you to do?" Look at it. Then he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." Okay, they come to Christ. This is a whole nother message. Come to Christ, hear what he has to say and does it. "I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." What shakes your foundation? I mean, what is your faith founded on? Because when the storms hit and shakes it, you're going to figure it out. Jesus said our faith, our life, our existence are to be founded upon Him. It goes on to say, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of this house was great." This is wonderful illustrated in the Tower of Pisa. Y'all grew up reading about the Tower of Pisa in Italy? The foundation has got issues. It's founded upon gravel to where that tower is shifting. Do you remember that? You ever seen pictures of that? It's not founded upon bedrock. It's founded upon gravel. And one side shifts. The cathedral in Mexico City is sinking in the ground because Mexico City was a lake bed and it's built on silt. And that heavy stone structure of the Catholic Cathedral in Mexico City is sinking slowly into the ground because it's not founded upon rock. It's founded upon silt. See, your life, my life, my very existence is to be founded upon the bedrock of Jesus Christ. He's referred to as the rock of our salvation. The Lord had lifted me up from a miry clay and set me upon a rock and set and established my goings, the Bible says. And it talks about my salvation and my life, my existence is upon Him. See, the problem is when our foundations are destroyed, when our foundations are not built upon Him, our life comes crashing down. When our foundation is built upon our own health and our own abilities and our own finances, these are things that can be taken away, by the way. When our lives are built on our careers and our accomplishments, which can be taken away, by the way, which will be taken away, by the way. The nursing home is full of people who've done wonderful things, great things, who have accolades, who none of that matters anymore. You're going to find your life crashing down because you're supposed to be founded upon Jesus Christ, the unmoving, unswerving, unshakable Jesus. So what is the foundation of your faith? It cannot be your sincerity because there's days when you just don't feel very Christian-y. Anybody else like that? Well, you just get up in the morning and you just don't feel very Christian-y. Huh? You don't feel like it. There are days when our faith is founded on something other. Now, listen. There is one big question you have to answer before you die. I've told you about this, so I'm not going to belabor the point. Jesus asked His disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" This is the number one question. You have to answer this before you die. This is the final exam. Listen to me. You do not get to retake this one. There's no extra credit. You either answer it right before you die or you don't go to heaven. Because there's a whole lot of people out there named Jesus. But there's only one who's Son of God, God the Son, Creator, Redeemer, Messiah, King of Kings. There's only one. But you know, the second big question that determines, it doesn't just determine when you go to heaven, but the second big question you're asked by God is, what authority does this book hold in your life? I gave you my Son to cover your sin. I gave you my Word so you could know me and follow me. And He's going to ask you, what authority does this book hold in your life? Well, what's the big deal with that? Well, it affects your worldview, to be honest with you. It really does. It really does. Take your Bible, go to John chapter 1 and verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17. Look what the Bible says in John 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In John 14 and verse 6, the Bible says, Jesus looked down at His disciples and said, "I am the way, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but me." Jesus was saying, He is this truth. And you're like, I don't know if I can make that leap. Well, look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Why is Jesus called the Word? In Revelation, it actually says in Revelation, I think it's 19 and verse 13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God. Why would Jesus be declared to be the Word of God? Because in Him, He is the personification of God the Father. You understand, on the night He was arrested, He was talking to His disciples, and Philip says, "Just show us the Father, and that'll be enough." And He goes, "Have you been? Does God ever roll His eyes at you?" God rolls His eyes at me all the time. But He rolled His eyes at Philip and goes, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." John 14 and verse 7 and 8. So when He comes in, it's John 14. He says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The testimony of God in the Old Testament was through His prophets. through visions and through dreams. But now, it's all personified. It's all come out in Jesus, manifested in Jesus. It actually says that in him dwells all the Godhead bodily, that he has the fullness of God in him. So why is it that he's called the Word? Because he's the living Word. That he has given us his mind, his thoughts, he's given us himself. So what authority does this book have in your life? I mean, if your faith is founded on Jesus, well then, is it founded on this book? I mean, have you ever asked yourself why there's so many different versions of Christianity? Well, the answer to that is answered in the question, what authority does this book have in your life? You know what's cool is, Jesus is called King of Kings, right? Lord of Lords. That's what he's called in the book of the Revelation. He's King of Kings. He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He is the Supreme. Now here's the thing. People like me who were raised in America, we don't know what it's like to live in a monarchy, do we? We don't know what that's like. We don't know what it's like to have a king, right? They thought of making President Washington a king, but he didn't want that. That's what made this the great experiment, was at the end of his term, he gave up the presidency. He didn't retain it. We don't know what it's like to live under a king. Now, maybe you did. Maybe some folks here today were raised in a country where you had a sovereign. You had a king. But now that you're saved, now that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he is also your king. And you understand that he sits on a throne in his kingdom, and that you and I reside in a colony here on this planet. And in this colony, we call this the embassy of that colony, God has given us his treatise, his decree, his royal decree. It's right here. What authority does this have in your life? How many of you have ever been driving down the road and had your children remind you from the back seat that you were speeding? Don't you just hate it when they understand things? You're like, just look out the window. You know? But they do that. Aren't you going a little fast, Dad? Hey, you don't know, the speed limit is only 45, Dad. And you're speeding. Dad, you're speeding. Right? Is nobody else in the room like that? I get that sometimes. But the truth is, they're reminding you that you are breaking the established law in the Commonwealth of Virginia, right? And at that moment, you are saying by your actions to those around you, the law no longer matters. It happens. You're driving down the road, you're in 95, and somebody doesn't put on their blinker, go figure, and they come into your personal car space, right? And what do? You use that little thing in the middle of the car steering wheel, what's it called? A horn. Why do you use your horn? You're warning them that they're violating the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, aren't you? Because you're a good citizen. Isn't that why you honk, 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 right? You're just public service announcement. That's all it really is. Just a public, you're violating the laws of Virginia. You should have put on your blinker. You should have saw me there. My space. How many of you actually take your space out of the middle of two lanes? Anybody? Don't do that. Okay? By their actions, they are negating the laws of the Commonwealth. See, what trumps this book? What in your life trumps this book? See, because whatever it is that you allow to say, nah, I know what the Bible says, but, and then you fill in the blank after the word but, that just trumped the authority of Scripture. You know, there are some people in our country who've been tried for treason and found guilty. There are others in the process of being tried for treason, and some that need to be tried for treason. But what is it they did? They violated the sovereignty of our nation. They violated the treatise. They violated what? They violated our laws. They circumvented. They sold us out. See, we don't think of ourselves that way. But when we let something trump Scripture, see, I'm not your authority. Did you know that? I'm not your authority. Don't look at me like I'm your authority. I will fail you. I'm a sinner. This church is not your authority. You do not answer to this church. You don't answer to any church. You're a born-again child of God. You answer to the King. So what is it in your life that trumps the treatise of the King? Am I using that word right? The decree of the King. When the decree throws out a king, when the king throws out a decree, it's law, right? To violate the decree is to violate the law and the sovereignty of the king. What trumps the book in your life? Is it your preferences? Is it your sexual preference? Does that violate the king's treatise? Does anger or bitterness over the way somebody treated you in the past trump the book's command to forgive? See, at the moment you and I let something else trump this book, we are selling out the King. Why is it that certain people are up on charges for treason? Because their own personal self-interest was put above the interest of the nation. Isn't that what it is? I mean, boil it down. If you can't put it in one sentence, you don't understand what it means. They put their own personal self-interest or ideology above that of the good of the country. So what authority does God's Word have in your life? We say He's our King. We are of His household. We are His children. I always tell my kids, don't fight, don't fight. Blood's thicker than water. Blood's thicker than water. You don't take up with your friends and fight your brother. You don't do that. Family is family. We're blood. Well, let me ask you a question. What trumps this to you? If our foundations is Jesus Christ, He is the living Word. Everything He wanted us to know, everything He said as our King is right here. We are going to be held accountable for what it says. For the judgment of God is against according to truth against them that commit such things, Romans chapter 2, verse 2. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth, John 17, 17. So if Jesus Christ is the one who gave us the truth, if this is Him personified, then this book is to be our final authority. Not some man, not some organization. Not some ecclesiastical council, but this. You have this in your own language. Your Father in heaven, who loved you more than you can even imagine, sent His Son to die for you, that you might have this. So is it what you're basing your life on? Is this where your purpose comes from? Is it the final authority? Jesus said, if you continue in My word, we would be His disciples, John 8 and verse 31. But He said if. He said that word if. That word if means it's our decision. We're the one who decides. Paul said it was the Scriptures that teach us the doctrines. That's why we're commanded to teach it and preach it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. We're to preach the Word. Why? So that people know what the King said. In the Old Testament, whenever Xerxes or Cyrus in Persia created a law, it was written down multiple times, and a writer went out to the four corners of the kingdom spreading the news so that people would know what the laws were. What is it that the king desires? What is now in the Medes and the Persians, it was an unchangeable law that once it was on the books, it was on the books forever. That's why Daniel ended up in the lion's den. Remember the story? Because he wrote it in the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed. So I ask you, If this is the unchanging word of God, if this is the King of Kings' decree to you and I, what takes precedence over it? Because see, when you get to heaven, you've already answered the first question, who Jesus is. Well, he's my Savior. He's the one who died in my place. He is the one who's taken my sin upon himself and died on the cross for my sin. He took my place. He's my Savior. When we get to heaven, the Bible says the books will be opened and the book of life. And all those who, listen, you're going to stand, you're going to be judged by what it says. Now, you're going to be rewarded. Don't get me wrong. You're going to be rewarded. But you're not going to be held accountable to what I think. And you're not going to be held accountable for what this church thinks. And you're not going to be held accountable for what society thinks. And you're not going to be held accountable for what your mother thinks, or your father thinks, or your spouse, or your kids. You're not going to be held accountable for what your boss thinks. He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you read it? Did you obey it? Did you let something else take precedence over it? Now, we seek wisdom in all kinds of places, but the Bible says in Isaiah 8 and verse 20 that anything that's contrary to the book is to be cast aside. Isaiah 8:20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Maybe you had a vision. Maybe you had a feeling. Maybe you had a dream, and it changed your life. And I don't doubt that you had an experience. But did that vision or that dream or that feeling, that experience, did it line up with Scripture? In Deuteronomy 13, God said, listen, if a prophet shows up and he can do miracles, he can call down fire from heaven, but he tells you to follow after false gods, stone him. Because even if he can do miracles, he's violating my word. That's Deuteronomy 13. You see, our foundation is not based on our feelings. It's not based on a church affiliation. It's based on the book. It's based on Jesus Christ and his sovereignty, him as our King. What's yours based on? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, and I'm so thankful that you did not leave us here without instruction. You didn't leave us here without your word, but you gave it to us fully, perfectly, preserved, and in our own language. And Father, today we declare our allegiance to you. We did it by calling upon your name in prayer. We did it by singing your praise. We did it by attending your house as you've commanded. And today, before leaving this place, we swear our allegiance again as our King, as our Sovereign, as our Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us the power and the grace to live each day. Thank you for the purpose you have created us for. Thank you for the glory that you've got in store. Only you are worthy of praise. Only you are worthy of glory. We call out to you today, asking that you would meet the needs represented here. Maybe someone here today has a health issue. They need you to give them grace. Maybe today there's a relationship issue here today, a problem in a relationship. God, we ask that you would give grace and heal. Maybe today, Father, there's a financial problem represented here today. I ask God you'd meet the need as only you can. And Father, that you would stir us, show us where we allow other things to trump your authority. Let us swear that allegiance afresh and anew today in Jesus' name. Amen. This is called the invitation time of the service. Folks usually altar, take an opportunity to pray, to seek the Lord. If you're lost today, I'd love to give you an opportunity to be saved. To know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven. Mrs. Meeks. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, this is an opportunity for you to talk to the Lord. Won't you come? But that
was shed for me.
How about you? God's not seeking perfection in your life. He doesn't expect that. God's not expecting you to do everything right all the time. God loves you. Won't you just give yourself to Him afresh and anew today?
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come broken.
What is your need today?
To be mended.
What area of your life needs to be built up and strengthened?
To be
the Word
healed.
Of God is clear. Come. Build your house and your life upon the foundation of Jesus and His Word. Lay it deep upon the bedrock of Christ. It'll be unshakable. Come. Yesterday, or 2 days ago, one of my friends, his wife became an American citizen. She stood in front of a crowd, in front of the flag, raised her hand, and swore an oath of allegiance to this nation, forsaking any allegiance she had to her former country. She embraced and swore allegiance to this one. Have you ever done that to God? Have you ever given your allegiance fully to Him as your King? You're not expected to understand everything. But He wants your heart. Have you given Him your heart? Well, I'm saved. That's good.
I come wounded to be healed.
But have you willingly sworn your allegiance to Him?
I come empty. To be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb, and I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am.
Our Father and our God, we love You. And Father, You alone are worthy of praise. Father, we ask that You would work Your will in us, perfect it, that we would be the usable vessels You have purposed us to be. And Father, as we go from this place, give us an opportunity to share the faith, share Jesus Christ with someone who does not know Him. Father, that they too can come to the knowledge of His saving grace, that they too will become Your child. I pray, God, that You would give us that opportunity this week. And Father, as we go from this place, let us also lift up those around us who are struggling, those that need the encouragement. Let us be usable to be a blessing to the people that are Your children. Encourage us as we go, and we'll praise You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man. Look this way, Pastor.